Today is a different episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me from St. Victor's Church in West Hollywood. I am helping to host the Miracles of the Eucharist Across the World, which was devised and planned by a very young man who was born in London in May of 1991 and died of a rampaging leukemia in Milan in October of 2006, whose name was Carlo Acutis. I've mentioned him before. He's something of a find for me, and the more I'm hearing about him and seeing this Eucharistic exhibit, the more that I know that he was placed on this earth to teach us about the miracles of the Eucharist, to remind us that though we should not be asking for signs, the Lord does provide signs to us about his great works, about the fact that he is in fact truly present in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Eucharist in the transubstantiated host. Carlo was born to a very wealthy family, but though his parents were both Catholic, nominally neither really practiced, and it was this little boy who, as a child, an innocent child, had somehow the prescience to know, perhaps it was God placing his voice in his head, pretty surely it was, that at 7 he was given communion for the first time and thereafter wanted to make everyone know, as I said last week, that we Catholics, have Jerusalem at our door. We have Jesus present in a way that is so unobstructed in the form of the Eucharist. Whereas, as Carlo would say, when people back in the day of Christ would try to see him, they would sometimes be blocked because there would be so many crowds around him, and they probably said, well, I can't get close, so I'll have to come another day, and maybe that other day never came. Right now, I'm going to read about what is a miracle of the Eucharist, and this is from the panel about the exhibition. Miracles of the Eucharist are miraculous divine interventions that are aimed at confirming faith in the real presence of the body and blood of our Lord in the Eucharist. We are familiar with the Catholic doctrine relating to this real presence with the words of consecration, "This is my body, and this is my blood." The substance of the bread becomes the body of Christ, and the substance of wine becomes his blood. This awe-inspiring change is known as transubstantiation, in other words, the transition of the substance. Only the appearances or species of the bread and wine remain. These are known by the philosophical term accidents. The dimensions, color, flavor, and odor remain, as do the nutrients, but the substance, or rather the true reality, does not remain because it has become the body and blood of Christ. Transubstantiation can in no way be experienced by the senses. Faith alone makes certain of this miraculous change. Miracles of the Eucharist. I'm going to probably make a few mistakes since I'm doing this live, well, live recorded, if you will, so I won't have a chance really to do much editing. Miracles of the Eucharist are intended to confirm this faith, which is based on the words of Christ, according to which what seems like bread is no longer bread, and what seems like wine is no longer wine. Flesh and blood, or one or the other, appear in miracles of the Eucharist, depending on the case. The aim of miracles such as these is to demonstrate that we should not look at external appearances, bread and wine, but at the substance, at the true reality of things, which is flesh and blood. Medieval theologians scrutinized the issue of miracles of the Eucharist, which were very common at that time, and interpreted them in a variety of different ways. The most well-founded and reasoned of these seems to be that of the supreme doctor of the Eucharist, St. Thomas Aquinas, following the Summa Theological 3, question 76. He says that the body and blood that appear after the miracle are a result of the transformation of the Eucharistic species, or rather of the accidents, and that they do not affect the real substance of the body and blood of Christ. The species of the bread and wine are miraculously changed into the species of flesh and blood, but the real body and the real blood of Christ are not those that appear. They are those that, even before the miracle, were hidden hidden beneath the species of the bread and wine and continue to exist hidden beneath the species of the flesh and blood. If, in fact, the flesh and blood that appear were really the flesh and blood of Christ, we would have to say that the risen Christ, who reigns at God's right hand, loses a part of his flesh and blood. We must therefore say that the flesh and blood that appear in the miracles are a type of species, appearance or accident, no more and no less than the species of the bread and wine. The Lord carries out these miracles to give a sign that is easy and visible to all, that the real body and blood of Christ are present in the Eucharist. But this real body and this real blood are not those that appear. Rather, they are substantially contained beneath the species or appearances that were those of the bread and wine before the miracle, and after the miracle are those of flesh and blood. Christ is truly and substantially contained beneath the appearances of flesh and blood, just as he was before the miracle. This is why we can worship Christ in his real presence beneath the species of the flesh and blood. This is written by Father Roberto Coggi. So this young boy who had such a faith in the Eucharist decided at some point at the relatively early stages of the internet to research and to present all of the approved miracles of the Eucharist that had happened all over the world. And so he went to the different places and actually took photographs of the churches, of the monstrances, of the paintings of the church or the location, and then created panels which explained each of them, both for the internet and for presentation at churches in the way we're doing today, so that we have something like 35, 40 panels in Spanish and in English that describe every one of the miracles that is, I guess, approved by the church. And what does that mean? It means, as they said in the earlier part that I read to you from the priest named Father Roberto Coggi, is that you can actually see blood that happens to be AB blood, which, by the way, is the blood that is also on the Shroud of Turin, and pericardium tissue from the heart, the Sacred Heart. And this is the Lord's way of saying, if you do not believe by simply faith, the same faith as so many of the apostles have, if you're more like a Thomas and you want to put your fingers into my wounds and into my side, this is a sort of way he does it, by presenting to those who doubt the truth of his death and resurrection and his presence among us today. It's kind of sad in a way. Here we are at a lovely little church, and there were about, 15, 20 people here right after Mass who were enjoying the exhibit, which is absolutely most beautiful. I'll try to put some pictures of it. I'm not sure if I can do it on this website, but I might put it on my WordPress website. But right now, the only people who are here are people who are kind of hosting it and just keeping an eye on it as docents and giving out holy cards to people. Also right now, upstairs in the church, our pastor has exposed the Eucharist for adoration. Carlo said something about the fact that people will wait online for a concert or a sports event, or in my neighborhood, they'll wait online for a pair of sneakers that cost $300, but they will not wait online to see our Lord in modern times. Here's a little bit of the video with his mother talking about him.
Passing in front of churches, he wanted to go in and greet the crucified Jesus, the tabernacle. So going there was important to him. He'd stopped for quite a long time, too. I was born in a family of lay publishers. My father was not anti-church, but he was, let's say, not practicing. The sacraments of First Communion, Confirmation, and marriage, they were the only three times I attended Holy Mass. I always say that Carlo was a little savior for me.
Love for Jesus and the Eucharist is so strong in Carlo, even as a child, that after careful assessment by the bishop, he is allowed to receive First Communion at just 7 years of age.
We'd go towards this rise where there's this monastery on a hill. At a certain point, we had to stop because a shepherd was passing the lamb, crossing the street. And he saw that as something of a sign of predilection from the Lord, because we were taking Carlo for his first communion. He constantly felt this living presence of Jesus, which then animated him to introduce Jesus, the love of Jesus, to many other people.
And thus, by these panels and by his internet presence, he is introducing many, many, many new people to the Eucharist. From one of the panels talking about Carlo, he said, "My life plan is to always be connected to Jesus." With these few words, Carlo Acutis, who died of leukemia when he was only 15 years old, outlined the distinctive feature of his brief existence, living with Jesus, for Jesus, and in Jesus. To quote Carlo's own words, "Our destination must be what is infinite, not what is finite. Infinity is our homeland. We have been expected in heaven since time immemorial." He also said, "All are born with their own originality, but many die as photocopies." From his days as a good catechist onwards, he would try his best to find new ways to help others to strengthen their own faith. For this reason, he left us his exhibitions as a legacy, among which the miracles of the Eucharist stand out. In 2002, while visiting the Meeting Rimini exhibition, Carlo decided to stage an exhibition on the miracles of the Eucharist recognized by the Church. This demanding work also involved his family for almost 2.5 years. The spiritual effects brought about by this exhibition could not have been predicted before it opened. We can confirm that the exhibition has now been hosted on all 5 continents. Many parishes, like this one, have also asked that the material be collected in a catalog, which has accompanied and is accompanied by an eminent preface written by Cardinal Angelo Camastri, Archpriest of the Papal Basilica of the Vatican and Vicar General to His Holiness for the Vatican City, and by His Excellency Monsignor Raffaele Martinelli, then head of the Catechetical Office of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. From that moment on, if we may say so given the results, the exhibition has performed miracles. In the United States alone, thanks to assistance from the Knights of Columbus, the Cardinal Newman Society, and the Real Presence Association and Education, with the support of Cardinal Edmund Burke, it has been hosted in thousands of parishes and more than 100 universities. It has also been promoted by several episcopal conferences, including those of the Philippines, Argentina, and Vietnam. It has even traveled to China and Indonesia. Important basilicas and sanctuaries have hosted Carlo's exhibition, including the Sanctuary of Our Lady of Fatima on the occasion of the centenary of Francisco Marto. But what is it? What is it that makes us so blind to the obvious, to the reality? So just as I'm recording this sort of spontaneous podcast, this on the road, the ordinary Catholic me, two people came to take a look. So it doesn't feel like all is lost. I think, you know, every drop in the ocean makes a difference, adds to the volume and adds to the substance. As for me, although I do say, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief," all the time, having these additional items, these things I can see and feel and touch, like the Eucharistic miracles and the Shroud of Turin, it's a real resource. It gives me a sense of comfort to know that they are out there. And for all of the cynics out there, they have not been explained. They keep saying, "Oh, this is what it's not. It's not this, and it's not that, and it's not this other thing. It's not a painting. It's not not a fake object." But they don't know what it is. And they say generally, "It's not real at all." Well, based on what? If you can say what it isn't, can you say what it is? And so far, most of these people have not done that. Here in Los Angeles, it's the Office for Divine Worship of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles and the Catholic Communication Collaboration and LA Catholic Eucharistic Revival that are presenting this production in church after church. And it's really kind of a cool way that they're doing it. The the panels are sort of self-contained in this, I don't know if it's like an accordion, you kind of take the panel and you can squish it down into this little area. You get rid of the holder that keeps it standing, you get rid of the little pole that holds it up, and you put it all in a canvas bag. And there are 30 or 40 or 50 of these in English and in Spanish. And then the church that's going to do it next comes and gets them and then sets it up for their church. It has been, it's an inexorable, it has a feeling of deep movement, kind of. I have this image in my head of the apostles walking across the desert and moving to each town to try to say, the Lord is here, the kingdom is here, pay attention to him. He has all sorts of resources for you so that you may end up in heaven. And I think of this young boy. Every time I look at this picture of him, he's just an ordinary kid, but he's handsome and he's intense and he's happy. He was happy in the Lord. So as there are a few docents here, I'm going to go upstairs and spend a little time with our Lord in the Eucharist. This is something that's still very new to me after many years as a Catholic. I still have to pray for the clarity of belief. I know I will never understand exactly how it all happens, but I have to believe that, in fact, this is Jesus Christ, present to me in the same way he was present to the apostles, fully present. There are very few people, actually. I only see one person in the church. We weren't expecting to do this, so there wasn't a lot of advance notice, so I think only those of us who are around already are aware of it. I believe adoration will be happening all day as we do this exhibit downstairs. And as I was sitting there, there were very few people in, few more came, but something happened that made me think very deeply about myself and how far I am from really, really having the closest possible relationship with our Lord. One of our parishioners came in and he prostrated himself at the very front before our Lord. And I thought, I'd like to be able to do that. To me, that's a very intimate thing to do. And I find that the most difficult, to have a close, intimate relationship with our Lord, one that isn't afraid to open myself up to him completely. Now, he knows everything there is about me or about you, but it's my lack of response or minimal response to our Lord. I had a moment, for the first time in, I don't know, ever, that, yes, this is absolutely true. This is our Lord present. I want that to stay with me as much as possible. I want others to be able to experience it. It is dramatic, but it is peaceful. So now I'm going to go back down to the exhibit for a little while, and hopefully at about 3, somebody is going to be coming, and I'll take a late lunch. A friend wanted to go out tonight, and I'm still very tired from something that happened during the week, a friend dying, and that kind of threw things in disarray, as it were, although the person was elderly and so had a good life, and it wasn't a sad going. It was a happy death. And I believe that person is currently in heaven, having experienced purgatory here on earth for the last many years. So I'm going back down, and I'm going to probably do a few of the panels for you to hear about. Actually, I think I'm going to do one panel, the panel that is on the most famous of the Eucharistic miracles, and that is L'Anziano. A few more people have shown up, which is lovely. There's a slow but, I guess, steady stream, and that's comforting. And I guess each of us can go out afterwards and explore the spreading of our faith in a quiet way, the way Carlo did, not hitting people over the head, but making them sense that the Lord really wants him in their arms, in his arms, I should say. Sometimes you don't realize the blessing that you're having by being in a place. Before I conclude, I wanted to do a little bit about Lanciano. An inscription in marble from the 17th century describes this Eucharistic miracle, which occurred in Lanciano in 750 at the Church of St. Francis. A monastic priest doubted whether the body of our Lord was truly present in the consecrated host. He celebrated Mass, and when he said the words of consecration, he saw the host turn into flesh and the wine turn into blood. Everything was visible to those in attendance. The flesh is still intact, and the blood is divided into five unequal parts, which together have the exact same weight as each one does separately. So a few more docents have shown up, which allows me to go off to lunch for a little while and then come back, maybe go back up to Eucharistic Adoration. And then this turns out to be till about 7 o'clock. So I probably will have to come back for that. So have to is a relative word. I'm delighted to be able to come back to that, even though I'm still a little tired from the last few days. But that's good. It's a good tired. We should thank Blessed Carlo Acutis for his diligence in creating this set of panels and creating a website to honor the Eucharistic miracles and hopefully to bring more people to the faith. Well, can you believe it? I brought my tablet, which has my little theme on it, with me to possibly use for the exhibit. As it turned out, I didn't have to. So with that, I end another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me, an experiment of trying to do the whole thing using my cell phone and while walking about the exhibit. I hope you're enjoying the program. If your parish wants to have these exhibits, you should try to get it. It's worthwhile. Also, we're going to be having this tomorrow here at St. Victor, August the 12th, or is this today's the 12th? August the 13th, from 9 a.m. to 4 a.m. From 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So if you're around West Hollywood, come by and see the exhibit.